Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening or good afternoon. We know we're dealing with people in two different time zones. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are here with you once again for another episode of the PRF Table. We are now dealing with financial empowerment. This is what we felt the Lord wanted us to talk about for the first quarter, and then it extended into the second quarter. Throughout these first two quarters, we've had so many guests that have come onto the PRF Table and shared with you, the listening audience, of various different ways of how to be financially empowered. And so today is no exception. Today we have with us the wonderful Regina Meadows. She is the director of Circles of Opelika, located in Opelika, Alabama. So we're excited to have Ms. Meadows with us. But before we get to Ms. Meadows, we have Mama here. Y'all know her as Mama. Her name is Marianne Williams. We're going to let Mama introduce. We ain't have Mama introduce herself and welcome you in a while. So, Mama, take it away.
Good evening. I mean, good afternoon.
It's all done.
Okay.
She's excited. I don't know what Mama's doing today. She's excited. She's done this about 500 times.
Okay. Good afternoon to the PRF family. And I want to just thank you for taking out the time to be with us this evening. And with that being said, I turn it over to Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr.
Well, listen, it's not just Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. You know, we have several hosts of the PRF Table, and we also have with us Adia Sanders. We call her the firecracker of the crew. Adia, good afternoon, all the way from El Paso, Texas. I guess Adia don't want to play right now.
No, I'm sorry. So good morning to everyone if you're in Mountain Standard Time, and good afternoon to all of y'all on East Coast Time. Very glad to be on the show, and I really look forward to just, like, digging in and, one, learning and also being able to just, you know, ask questions to help broaden our minds, our perspectives, and our horizon as to what the circle of Opelika is doing and how we can, you know, possibly help out, whether it be in Alabama or in our own community. So I'm ready.
Amen. So we're ready too. So we're just going to bring into our conversation, to this dialogue today, Ms. Regina Meadows. Ms. Meadows, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, guys. Thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to share circles with you.
Yes, yes. Well, if you will, for our listening audience, just tell us a little bit about what is Circles of Opelika, because some people may have never heard of it, and it may not be in every single community, but tell us a little bit about what is Circles and what is Circles looking to do as an organization.
Okay, good deal. Circles is a, Circles Opelika is a new program here in the Opelika community. It's a national program, excuse me, and it's a poverty reduction program. So the goal of it is actually to get all of the participants off of or out of poverty, to reach the 200% poverty guidelines. And like I said, it's based off of a national program. We're the only one in Alabama. There are a couple of in Georgia. And it's been around about 20 years. Circles USA has been around about 20 years. And so we're really excited about its goals here in Opelika. Just ready to get started. We're recruiting circle leaders right now, and that's what we call the program participants, our circle leaders.
Okay. So the people who, and tell us, what is it that you need? What are some of the resources? You know, everybody understands that I just go straight to the chase, straight with no chaser.
Oh.
What is it that Circles of Opelika needs? You know, what help do you need to deal with this poverty reduction model that y'all have implemented?
Oh, okay. So keep going. I got it. Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we're in need of just keep it moving. All right. So we're in need of quite a few things. First, we need to circle leaders because, you know, without people participating in the program, we have no program. So we're needing people that are saying, I'm having a hard time making ends meet. I'm struggling. I need the help. So, you know, saying people are in poverty or people that are low income that need support. So we need circle leaders. That's what they're called. We also need allies. Allies are the second part of the program, or another part of the program, and they're similar to mentors. And we try not to really say mentors, but people understand what a mentoring program is. So they are similar to mentors in that they are there to support our circle leaders and to take them or to kind of guide them throughout the process. This commitment is an 18-month commitment, well, roughly 18-month commitment. So we need the allies. We also need people that are willing to support the program by providing meals in the evenings, because the program meets once a week on a Tuesday night, and we provide a meal for our program participants, our circle leaders, and their families. So we need people that are willing to commit to do that, to provide the meals. We need volunteers to assist with child care for the program, because it also has a child care curriculum component as well. So we're needing that. So there are quite a few moving parts to the program. We also need people that are willing to provide their resources, such as PRF, that's going to come in and provide speaking opportunities or speaking engagements. We need those opportunities as well. So just a host of different things and different opportunities that people can share with our low-income participants just to make this program work.
And you know, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things that really attracted me to this program, and I'll be honest with you, there's quite a few people that ask us to come and talk or to speak to their groups or to help out, but for some reason, this whole notion of poverty has been coming up time and time and time again. Ever since we've started talking about financial empowerment, it's kind of like poverty has just been a neon sign idea, just constantly there. And so I can just tell you that we are definitely grateful to participate in the way and the ways that we will participate. And if anybody knows anything about PRF, we like to be consistent with whatever we do. So if we're going to provide a meal, for example, Adia, we're not just going to go to a length of providing a meal. We're like, listen, let's take care of the meals for the next month. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it has to be. I tell people, if you're going to deal with poverty, you really have to put your money where your mouth is, mm-hmm. because the people who are in poverty don't have the money themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Adia, did you have? I'll let you jump in. Y'all know how I get to going, but I'm going to let Adia jump in.
Well, I really think that this is a very good topic to discuss, and even more so that there are organizations that have been around that are addressing the topics of poverty and all of the other subtopics that fall up under poverty. When we talk about, when you talk about barriers, what is, I guess, something, whether in your community or what you've seen growing up, like how poverty is continuing to hurt people and how the circle of Opelika is going to help to assist with that hurt that they're going through. And I don't really want to define what the hurt is, because it could be something different to everybody, but I guess maybe what is most prominent.
Well, I think part of it is the word itself, mm-hmm. and understanding what poverty is, because mm-hmm. poverty means something different to everybody. And understanding the difference in surviving and thriving. And that's kind of a key to what we're doing, mm-hmm. is educating the people that we're working with. I think for so long, many people are saying, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm not in mm-hmm. poverty. And because mm-hmm. poverty has such a negative connotation, and mm-hmm. poverty is not necessarily destitution. And I think sometimes mm-hmm. we get the two confused. And so if you're not homeless or you're not destitute, then you're not in poverty or you're not that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had a really difficult time. So I thought it was interesting, I'll say, when we first got started and we were recruiting. And so we had people coming in. We had a lot of community support, you know, we love the program. We think it's a great program. We want to help do this or we want to help do that. And I was like, okay, we're checking the boxes. We're moving. And I thought, man, we'll have what we need in 2 months. Well, we had many of our boxes checked, but we didn't have circle leaders. We didn't have the people that said they needed the help. So without that, you don't have a program. And I'm thinking, what is the problem? And so we're going back and we're realizing part of it was in messaging because the people that need the help have not associated themselves with poverty. So that's a big thing. It's just identifying what poverty is. And it's not to say that you're a bad person or you know, that you're evil or something's wrong with you because you are in poverty. So we've had to change the messaging some to help people understand that you are in poverty, and it's okay. Not necessarily it's okay, but it's okay to identify yourself as that. But, you know, for the sake of what it is, we won't call it that. We'll just say we'll identify it as what you identified as. So we're in that point now. So kind of meeting people where they are. So that's one thing, I think, is just kind of educating people and making people aware of what poverty is or what it isn't. And then sometimes the factors aren't necessary just because you've made bad choices. Sometimes things just have happened. And also being really honest about, you know, there's legislation and there are other things that have caused and allow people to be in situations and keep people in situations that they're in. You know, circles addresses that. You know, there's an advocacy piece to circles to help people understand, well, you know, this is real. Because sometimes there are things we just can't quite put our finger on. It's like, there is some reason I can't quite get over this hurdle. What is it? What is it? And that thing is real. You know, it is real. And we have to kind of identify it and call it what it is and learn how to effectively advocate for that thing, you know, whatever that thing is. So we have a lot of pieces to what we do and, you know, helping us identify what those pieces are and finding the people that can help us talk about those pieces, effectively talk about those pieces. So
And this is one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the show because I've mentioned Circles of Opelika to a couple of individuals in my space. And it's amazing because you told me that there was a Circles in Columbus, Georgia, which is where our office is located. And everybody I mentioned it to had no idea about Circles in Columbus. So what that tells me is they're not supporting Circles, right, in Columbus. But then when I mentioned the organization that they were attached to, they said, oh, I know about that. But still, they're still not supporting Circles in Columbus, right, just because you know about the organization connected to it. And so I'm not confrontational, or at least I don't think I am. Everybody's going to laugh, Regina, right now. So I just – listen, this is a 30-minute show, so we go straight to the juggler. That's me. What has been and I understand your position as the director, and I understand that you have to work with a varied amount of individuals, but what has been the response from the religious community, the ones who, when Jesus said in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you fed me, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, when I was sick, you came to visit me, or in prison, when I didn't have any place to live. So what is the religious community response so far? I'm going to be positive and say so far.
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of speaking opportunities from the religious community. They have shown a good deal of support. They have backed the program a good deal. I have not taken the opportunity to go in one-on-one to a lot of them, to get into the various congregations, I think, to speak to them. But now they have allowed me the opportunity to share information with them, and so I've asked that they share it with their congregants, you know. And so that's where we are now. So we're at the point to do the second part of the follow-up to see, you know, what are we going to get from the congregation. So I'll say at this point they've been very supportive, the faith-based and the people of faith. Many of our board members are faith-based individuals.
Okay.
And so I'll say at this point they've shown a good deal of support to us.
Good, good.
Yes.
I'm one that I don't let none of us off the hook. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't let us off the hook because we have a duty, we have a responsibility as clergy to make sure that we are, if we're speaking from the Christian tradition or the Christian faith, we should be leading people to Christ. And one of the ways of leading people to Christ is to meet people where they are. Instead of telling them that they just need Christ. No, they need some food. No, they need some work on their credit. No, they may need some toilet paper. Had that situation happen last night. You know, it's the small things that truly, truly matter. One thing I do want to say as well before Deer jumps back in is I like the fact that it's a poverty reduction. There's so many programs that's out here that speak about elimination. And I think the fact that your language of reduction is more attractive to me, is more attractive to Adia and the rest that serve on the board in the ministry, because a lot of times people are chasing pipe dreams. They're chasing after myth. The truth of the matter is I don't know any place that has instituted something and there is no whatever it is, like no poverty or some place that wants us to come in and talk about credit, and then everybody's debt-free. No, it's just not going to happen. So I think that I want people to understand that what y'all are doing is not about eliminating, it's about reducing. And I think that is a more viable goal, the way that y'all have that language. So I appreciate that. Adia, did you want to jump back in?
Yes.
Okay.
I really liked, Ms. Meadows, what you said about meeting people where they are, through educating, empowering, and just giving them the tools that they need. And I wanted to kind of go to along the lines to the messaging. I work with an organization here at Fort Bliss, and that was one of the things that they were talking about was the messaging. Organization has been around for a lot of years, but they struggle with that because people don't know what they do. So they confused it. Do you have, any type of meetings or avenues to where a listener like myself or other people can help you with the messaging to get the word out? And how can we do that besides, you know, sharing it on a Facebook page? You know, what are some other things that we can do to help support the Circles organization?
We do. We actually have resource teams, and those resource teams help us in different capacities. So one of the resource teams is a recruitment team, and they have been really instrumental in some of the changes that we have made, because we had this we had our application, and it's about in total 5 pages. The first 2 pages gives you all the information of the program, and the second 3 is the application. And so that within itself, I think, may have been a bit much. And so people had a lot of questions as to why are you asking this question? What is that for? And, you know, who are you telling this to? And you know, it was just a little intimidating, and it was just a lot. And, you know, it seemed to be invasive. But because we knew why we were asking the questions and we knew what our intentions were for the information, once we could get someone in the door to answer those questions one-on-one, the response was better. So we realized we needed something a little less intimidating to get people at least in the door to ask the question. And so our recruitment team kind of helped us with that. And we have a team of people to do that, but they're all local. But that's not to say they have to be local. So since you brought that up, we might need to figure out how we can extend boundaries a little bit. to get some more, a global perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Thank you for asking.
Yes, ma'am. And I think it's important, because messaging is definitely good and having people to be aware, Dr. Dunlap was saying, they knew about this organization but didn't know that Circles was connected to it. And so I think it's good, when we can have that discussion about how do we get the messaging out with so many different platforms so that people will know that Circles exist and this is what it can do for you. So I thank you so much. I think the recruitment is really good, and a lot of times people don't understand that pretty much everything we do kind of centers around recruitment. How do we pique people's interest and things like that? What would you say, I guess, are like the pillars of Circles? Kind of like what's the foundation of, like, I know you talk about like poverty reduction program, but how does that make the program the program?
I think the fact that we want to build people power. You've heard the saying, it's not always about what you know, but sometimes it's who you know. Mm-hmm. And Circles is big on that. The allies, that's really the goal of the allies, is to strengthen the people. Having the heart to strengthen and to care enough about somebody else to share your resources. I share my friends and the things that are available to me with somebody else. Because, again, sometimes the choices we've made them based off of what we have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when I link you up with somebody else who have made some better choices or who were afforded some different opportunities, now I got some of their opportunities, and we pair this together. Now that's just expanded my circle. That made my circle that much bigger. So now I know a little bit more because I know some of the people you know, and then I can get some of the resources you have available to you.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's the strength of Circles.
Wow.
The people power behind Circles.
That's awesome.
That's one of them.
Down. Yeah,
and
build, strengthen, and share. That's awesome.
The knowledge that you will gain from building the community. That 12-week training that we start off with, in that training we realize that, what I'm going through, it may be bad, but I'm not the only person in this place. There are other people that are in this place, and we're all going to make it. We all can make it. My story is not that much different from my neighbor sitting next to me, and we're both still here. And we can all build from each other in addition to our allies. So we're going to make it. So it's just, I think this program is just a powerful, valuable program, and it costs you nothing. It costs you nothing but 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week. There's no monetary commitment from you, just 2 hours a week.
Wow.
Your time.
And
with the
class,
I'm sorry, I missed something.
I was going to say with the training, the 12-week training, and then just looking at the circle leaders and the allies, does it also, I guess, look at or delve into like the generational aspects of low income families and how to break the cycle? I guess with maybe the different tools and resources that you have, is that a part of it as well?
It does. In the training, it does talk about that. Yes, I think early on, like maybe in class two, it talks a little bit about the difference in thriving versus surviving.
Okay.
And I think in that session, we start to talk a little bit about the generational things. And we've also purchased a supplemental training guide to support what Circles USA provides us, and they recommend it as well. And it's Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World, or I think that's the name of that book. But it's something like that, and it has more of a holistic approach to poverty. And it's just a great tool, and so it does address generational poverty.
Awesome. And I just have one final question because I know we got to, wrap it up. But do you think, I've never really had a conversation where I'm just like, oh, we're talking about poverty. The same way you don't really hear people having conversations to say, you know what, I'm not good with my finances. We're kind of it's just like a taboo subject. Do you think poverty is one of those taboo subjects because it is sometimes connected to, or most people think it's connected or directly connected to money? And so that's why it's kind of hard to talk about, or is it more of embarrassment and shame, like, how did I get myself into this situation?
Yes, I think that's it. How did I get myself in this situation? Yeah, I think that's it. And again, I mean, some of it is that, some of it is our own doing. Mm-hmm. But then there are also things, like I said, that, there are those things that you can't just pinpoint, but they're there, whether intentional or not, they're there, that keeps you there. There are systemic things that are there that keeps you there, and you don't know it, but it's there.
Wow.
And it has to be addressed. It has to be, because things won't ever change, and you won't ever get out of it until you start to recognize and realize that this is a thing. This is a real thing. It's not just in my mind. Mm-hmm. This is real. It's happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
And again, for us, I think that's why it makes it so real for us to be involved in whichever capacity we can truly be impactful as an organization, because there's structures that are in place that were not designed for people to get out of poverty. It was designed to put a Band-Aid on. And so now we're in a place where people have been living in poverty for the last 15 and 20 years. I was in a meeting in another city today, and a lady comes up to me after this meeting, and she says, I have an individual who's 70 years old, and his wife died, and he can't even afford to take care of the house, so he needs a place to live because he can't afford to stay where he's staying. Because he's now down to one income, and the fact that he has a record makes it even tougher. And so there's a couple other pieces to this. If we're going to really have a conversation about financial empowerment with the notion of poverty involved, that unless people feel comfortable with us, what we say, our language in PRF is we create a safe place to learn, grow, and transform. So unless we make the environment safe, and this is my challenge to all of my fellow clergy, if your church is not a safe place, where else is it going to be a safe place? So if a church is a safe place, then people within the church should be able to say, listen, Pastor Dunlap, listen, I'm having a hard time with this right now. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I need some help. And then at the same time, Pastor Dunlap needs to be speaking. Listen, if you're going through something, I need you to bring this up. You may not want to bring it up to me, but bring it up to Minister Sanders, right? We have to designate people to be available for folks who are dealing and struggling with these issues so that they can get help. Because truth of the matter is, if I don't say anything and I have the pulpit every single Sunday, shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me for the condition of the people. And I know we got about 60 seconds, but Regina, we're going to have to get you back on the show. We're going to have another one of these conversations, because we got to do more. We have to do more justice to this notion of poverty. So can you let us know about any events, anything that you have coming up that you would like the people to know, and so that they can support it?
Yes. We have an event coming up May the 7th. It's a chat and chew. Dr. Dunlap will actually be there presenting some information to us, and our purpose for doing it is so that we can show people what a night at Circles will look like, because it is a little confusing to try to explain it, so we want to actually show it to them. But in addition to that, Dr. Dunlap is going to share with the community a topic on building and maintaining credit. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And it's going to be Tuesday, May 7th from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock at the Southside Cultural Arts Center in Opelika. And that's 1103 Glen Street.
1103 Glen Street. So if you go to the Circles of Opelika Facebook page, you will see that flyer. You will see that event. You can also look on our Facebook page for PRF Institute. You can see it. And Ms. Meadows, if they wanted to contact you, can you give them the website and any other contact information in our last few moments?
Yes. Our phone number is 334-203-1860, and our website is www.circlesopelika.org.
Good deal.
Yes.
Well, listen, everybody, the time.
So much.
Go ahead. Oh,
thank you so much for the opportunity.
We want to have you back on, so we want to talk a little bit more. I'm really interested in having another conversation, Ms. Meadows, specifically on individuals in public housing, because I see that as one of those structures, one of those systems, that if there is not any revamping, then we can't expect people to do better, because people have lived in public housing for many years. And there's certain tools that they could be utilizing right now while they're in that situation to help them get out of public housing. And so I would love to have another conversation about that. Adia, thank you for being on. Mama, thank you for being on. And Ms. Meadows, thank you so much. And I can say before everybody that's listening, Circles of Opelika definitely has the support of the PRF Teaching Ministry or the PRF Institute. So we'll be in contact. And we will be making sure that we are supporting in a very strong way, because we believe in what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, listen, it's our time to go. Remember, the PRF table airs every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, on the first and third Friday of every month at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we also have Your Health is Your Wealth, which is hosted by none other than the best host. I had to say this, Adia. She is the best host out of all of us, the wonderful Kimberly Silas. She had that thing down pat. But she is giving so much information and encouragement about how this whole notion of health and wealth play into each other's hands. So please tune in and support her. She has some awesome products that she has used, which has helped her with her weight loss and helping her to be healthy. So Mama's looking over here at me with some big old eyes like she needs something. She don't need nothing. She just needs to exercise. All right. So God bless y'all. We love to have fun. God bless y'all. We thank y'all for listening to us. And we will see you next Friday. Next Friday is when Kimberly will have her show for Your Health is Your Wealth. God bless y'all. Have a good evening.